This is Speaking of Faith, First Person. This online exclusive is part of Repossessing Virtue, an ongoing series in which we search for fresh ways to think and talk about the current economic crisis. I'm Rob McGinley-Myers, associate producer of Speaking of Faith. Here, I speak with Anchi Min, a novelist and memoirist who grew up in Mao's China. Her most recent book is The Last Empress. So, Anchi Min, in what way do you consider this a moral or spiritual crisis of your own or of our cultures?
I consider that my own and our culture. Now I'm talking about American culture.
Sure.
And as well as the Chinese upcoming culture, it's a change to culture.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of getting different from the past, since now the new generation is raised by McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Hmm.
Everything changes. I personally, I think I give you an example. I'm very different from my daughter, who was born in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I am an immigrant and a new American, and I came to this country in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have American sense of entitlement.
Right.
This is what I see. That's the root of the things. Because you just say, you know, in America, you say you're beautiful. You can do anything as long as you dream hard. Dream hard and work hard to get it. It's a very different concept.
Hmm.
And in a lot of ways, for the kids, now we are tracing this problem to its roots. I think it's a collective failure of irresponsibility that caused this economic downturn to happen. I think it started at a very young age. This is American. It's a flaw of American education in a way that you tell your kids that you can be anything you want, but you don't emphasize your responsibility to make it happen.
Right. One of the things that you grew up with was this idea of total sacrifice in communist China, and you have written about the horrors of that kind of sacrifice, but that your daughter has experienced this very different American culture where instead of any kind of sacrifice, what's emphasized is the pursuit of happiness, and I wonder what you've seen as sort of the darker side of that pursuit of happiness and how that relates to what we're going through right now.
What I see is the individual is the key system that needs repair and change. Because when I arrived in 1984, I remember I envied the homeless for two things. That first, they speak English. The second, right to work for yourself.
Hmm.
And I was so grateful. I don't take my time every minute in America for granted. Because I feel that this is the first time I own my own life, and it's like a it doesn't occur to an American to think that way.
Hmm.
You know, American in a lot of ways, the students I saw them. My husband. Teaching in the classroom. He one day came home and he was so happy. He says, "I'm so excited that my student moved from F to D." And I was very moved. I said, if America has a teacher like that, he's an average, in an average school, an average teacher, but he has such a good heart that it made his day, a student moved from F to D. And I was touched. In the meantime, I feel it's so pathetic because the students I saw in his classroom refused to work. They want an easy way out. They hate homeworks, and everything is like a picky and choosy.
Hmm.
You know, I do what I feel like on my time, my term, my satisfaction.
Hmm.
And I think that's really corrupting the American virtue. And I don't take that for granted because where I came from, and I think not only me, I would say I represent the entire Chinese. I represent average people in China. We feel that we had gone cultural revolution, and we learned a hard lesson that we don't take things for granted. And now China's economic situation is, they're doing okay. So I think it has its roots that Chinese people doesn't think the same way that we think right now.
Well, and what moral and spiritual resources or virtues do you bring to thinking about this crisis?
Well, I think that this whole thing makes me even think more about life, that the wisdom that how to hold on to this good life that in America, and I think it's I think more of the life as a gift from God that they gave me, and how I cherish it, and how I should have gratitude, because happiness is contentment. It's the sense that you have more than enough, and that I don't have to be a victim of my circumstances. And I think I focus on what I can do instead of what I can do, what I lose. I focus on what I can do, which is to write. For example, The Last Empress Orchid. And she was from a poorest province of China and became the ruler of China for 50 years. And her suffering, her single-handedly held this nation until she died, and it really inspired me. And I feel that her courage, and I feel inspired. And I feel that when the story that I created reached America, reached the world, and it's so... It means so much to me because I'm an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to receive the award for British Book Award in the category of Most Favorite Read for Empress Organ, The Last Empress, it comforted me. It meant to me that I reached the public worldwide, and I communicated, and I used the right tool instead of just monologuing. And I feel that the message that I got when I sat by the Harry Potter author at the award ceremony is that people are interested in China, and that I am making good use of myself and of my life. It's the gift of God. And nothing is more gratifying.
So how is this economic crisis affecting you or people you know, and what are you doing differently because of it?
Well, it doesn't really affect me that much because, you know, where I came from, that we always, it's a culture thing that you spend below your means. I don't feel like, forgive me that I might say something to offend people. When I saw saw this on TV, people say, oh, I have to pull my son out of college, and they just cry. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense, because in America, you can go to like a learning center in the library or community college, and you pay symbolically, pay very little. You don't even have to pay, and you have borrowed money. Your son can go to college that way. Because I came to this country without speak a word of English, and I learned from a Sesame Street, learn from Oprah Winfrey show. If you have this will to learn, and then you have the will to work three jobs, like I said, no picky and choosy. You just be happy that you have the right to work, and you speak English, and you have a tomorrow. You know, tomorrow is always another day, and have this kind of spirit. There is a win-win situation. You're not going to lose.
And so in some senses, I get the sense that you see this economic crisis as sort of a collapse of a false, sort of a false dream, you know, or that, I mean, you talked about that idea that that if you dream hard enough, you can do whatever you want in America, and that it's that emphasis on the dream as opposed to work. And, I mean, do you see this economic crisis as sort of a crumbling of that dream, and that what we need to replace it with is more of an emphasis on hard work?
Well, I think you're right. I think people take the American dream the wrong way. People think that you have this, what I call a lottery mentality. You just take chances. You know, this culture encouraged people to gamble. You don't think about consequences because everybody is doing it. The hell with hardworking and saving. I deserve to have fun. I deserve to live in a big house. I deserve to eat in a nice restaurant. I think China suffers less because the people didn't take things for granted. And again, you know, they feel that the right to work, they feel good about right to own one's life. There is a clear sense that the bad time can happen anytime, and we just stay ahead of a curve. Maybe it's a cultural thing. If American culture, we have flaws, it's a very good time. I look at this situation as a very good moment, a moment that God gave us for us to learn. It's a strong bell, and I think we heard, and then we began the learning process. Timing cannot be better.
And, I mean, it is a global economic crisis, and I wonder if you have family or friends in China who are feeling the effects of it and dealing with it in a different way.
Yes. My father lives in China, and my brother is in China, and we have a lot of relatives. I don't hear them complaining. You know why? Because everybody compares their life to what happened during the Cultural Revolution, that we were lied to, that we were saying that communism is going well and we are heading toward a bright future, and we find out that was a lie. And right now, at least, we are able to see the problem, the global problem, and we can deal with it honestly. And that's something we appreciate. And so to us, we're willing to share, like a 20 people share one toilet. And the family works, you know, each members work three jobs and shrink down, and you just deal with it. As in America, you know, you have to have your own space. And these are the must-haves for Americans. And I think that's pretty... That's actually what, you know, I wouldn't say this. Some of them is a necessity, but a lot of things. This country is a junk country. You see, people's trash can, such a waste. But as American, you don't blink your eyes when you do that. You know, dump the. You don't think about anything but your own pleasure. And I think that's a monster. It's a greed. It's like a cockroaches. Because there is... That there's food there on the floor that you feed it. It's a monster that comes out of you. Again, it's an American sense of entitlement. I think that's what's wrong.
Sure. This is the last question. Our last question is, you know, what kind of wisdom and leadership are you looking for at this time close to your life, and where are you finding it? And I think, you know, what you've been talking about is, you know, this ethic of... you know, making it through these things through hard work. And I'm curious if there were people or are people in your life who have exemplified that for you.
I would say it was my mother, who was a closet Christian. And for 27 years during the Cultural Revolution, during the time I was growing up, I did not know my mother's true identity. But I remembered time that in the middle of the night when I got up to go to the restroom, I stumbled over her because she was on her knees in the dark. And I think she had this connection with God and it helped her through the hard times. When Mao was turning me into a radical, and my mother prayed every night for strength, grateful God to give her strength and how she raised her children. I think my mother never, although she never mentioned the word of God, but she raised me God's way, the Christian way. And I feel that very, as I'm turning, you know, 50, and I lost my mother, and I feel that I had never really had a chance to communicate my mother about her strengths, where this come from, and her religion, because we never did. Because my mother just said to me, you know, you don't touch that field. You can be a Red Guard. You can be a communist. But you're my daughter, and you don't denounce what means everything to me. So in a way that it's the boundary between my mother and I. We never communicated. And I right now, it motivated me, the sense that to reconnect with my mother, although she no longer, you know, with me here on Earth, but through my work, Pearl of China, my next book, I show that Pearl Buck and her family's life in China, her father, her mother, their Christian missionary families, and how they the Christian life during China's 80 years of the time period in the novel, and motivated me to in a way rediscover my mother's connection with God and with me, and how this whole thing works through. And I found that has been a very exciting journey for me.
You've been listening to novelist and memoirist Anchi Min. This is Repossessing Virtue, speaking of faith's continuing exploration of the economic crisis. For more, subscribe to the SOF podcast and visit speakingoffaith.org.